HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
At the conference today, they gave the virus a name, COVID-19, coronavirus disease.
Lockdown has left employees in various sectors extremely anxious. Salary cuts, deferred appraisals, layoffs, all of them have hit employees of several different companies across sectors.
Countless stories of grief that have emerged through this pandemic.
So how long will it take for life to return to normal?
Has it been a year that businesses have suffered? Yes. Has it been a year that people have suffered? Hell yes. And has it been a year that has had a lot of learnings? Absolutely 100% yes. Welcome to a brand new podcast series we're calling The Year That Wasn't. My name is Kay. I host Good Morning Bangalore on 94.3 Radio 1 that airs every single weekday from 7 a.m. all the way to 12 noon. And I am so thrilled to join you on this beautiful podcast series, where we speak to industry leaders and people from various industries and spaces to understand how they have got their companies and themselves through the pandemic. Now, mind you, these are interviews with some of the most high-profile people you will come across in various industries. And trust me, there's a lot to learn whether you're an executive, whether you're looking for a job, or whether you're a top boss. Welcome to The Year That Wasn't, the podcast that is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Let's get into it.
The Year That Wasn't.
All right, hey, what's up? This is something that we're calling The Year That Wasn't. My name is Kay. I host Good Morning Bangalore on 94.3 Radio 1, and I'm super thrilled to introduce you to yet another person in the space of, let's just say, a space that you all use on a daily basis. Probably more than once a day for a lot of you watching this. But more than that, what I'm really, really excited to talk about is his learnings from the years gone by, from the pandemic, on a personal basis and on a professional basis. I want to introduce you to the COO of Swiggy. This is the wonderful Mr. Vivek Sundar, who's been sweet enough to join us on the show. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, Kay. Lovely to see you. And good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yes, because in these days, seeing is rare.
Yeah, so I'm real.
Yeah, you're real. Exactly.
We're doing okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for having us at this office and for agreeing to do this. And more than that, with the year that's been, it's a year that everybody wishes they could skip. Has it been a year that you wish you could have skipped? Or has there been immense learnings that you're like, no, I can't pass up on?
I would not pass this year. I would gladly pass this year for all the terrible things that people went through, including those who lost their lives. But I would not pass this off for all the learnings we've had and how much better we've become as a company. So I would say it's a bit of a bittersweet year. As a citizen, as a human being, of course, it's a painful year. So many people have lost lives and livelihoods. But I would say as a business that we've actually come out of it much stronger.
You actually, I know you guys are doing the whole work from home at Swiggy till the end of April. Have I got that right? End of April. Are you sad to see these, you know, not as many smiling faces in this office, and, you know, you interact with so many people on a daily basis? Is that a weird change for you? Because you're now coming back here. So is that a weird change for you personally?
I'd say that we got used to it relatively quickly, because this was a shared problem, right? I mean, the whole world was going through it. It's not unique to us. So I think humans are, in that sense, ultimately resilient when they know that this is a shared problem for the world and nobody really complains. What's there to complain? Nobody is imposing this on you. It's there.
Yes.
So in that sense, I think people adapted really well. I was super happy to see how people adapted. But I think after the initial stress and the euphoria and everything else is over, it does get to you. I mean, you've heard the term Zoom fatigue, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's a real thing.
Has that happened to you?
I've cut Zoom fatigue. Have you read that Harvard article on how it
kills productivity and then
How therefore you're to cut it?
Yes.
So I mean, as it so happened, I spoke to a few people in the middle of this mess, and they told me a few tips, and I did follow it. So I think I've had less of it. But I also cope by coming to office and so on and so forth. So I'm also sort of, in that sense, not going through so much of Zoom.
Right. How's it been with the family? I mean, you've got some time at home. A person at your level does not get that kind of time. To get that kind of time, especially in this day and age, is rare. How has that been at home for you?
So, you know, it's an interesting one. You're right that a lot of us senior people who used to travel a lot get a lot of time. Mm. But think about what's happening in these days in homes which have, let's say, there are four people, you know, husband, wife, both working.
Yeah.
Kids at school, except they're a digital school.
Yeah.
So we are actually choosing four different corners of the house to not get into each other's hair.
Like, keep quiet.
Yeah.
Keep
and I'm
quiet.
Like, yeah, you know, we don't want that. You know, when it happened with that BBC guy, it was like a once in a blue moon.
That was hilarious, by the way. That guy was on Ellen.
Yeah.
He eventually came on Ellen and that was hilarious.
Correct. But now it's happening all the time, right?
Yes.
So in that sense, while we do have more time, I think it's a sort of a semi-paradoxical time because we're all busy.
I think that's a good time to talk about your biggest Zoom mess-ups. Has that happened?
My biggest
Because someone
Zoom.
Has come in the background and you're like, just...
No, it was a voice one.
Okay.
Basically, I pressed the shortcut for mute twice instead of once, which means it muted and unmuted.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's...
You're safe.
I'm safe.
Yeah.
I'm basically giving, let's call it friendly advice to my son.
Oh gosh. So everybody on the call...
Everybody on the call is like, hang on, is this meant for us? Is
like,
it meant for...
Yeah. Vivek. And then you said, no, that was for you guys as well.
Yes.
Nicely covered.
Exactly. The universality of that message was such that it could have actually been for either.
Awesome. Great. Okay, good.
Kaam pe dhyan rakho. Like, it's actually good for both. So.
Now you said, you know, doing the work from home and then now you've got your little time here. Let's talk about the biggest learnings of you know, Swiggy in the year gone by. You guys have been like saviors, man, for a lot of people. So, you know, so there are so many people who, you know, just open the app and it takes care of so many things. We'll get to what are the other things, but maybe let's talk about the food part of it.
Yeah.
So how has that been?
It's like, I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, we're in March still.
Yeah.
And a year ago in this month is when we had the Janta curfew.
Yes.
And then we had, you know, people giving tribute to the people that actually helped us.
Yes.
Think about it. The people that were called out in the PM's message and other messages were not political. They were, you know, doctors and nurses and policemen and safai karamcharis and delivery boys.
Yes.
Right? And delivery boys and girls, actually.
Yes.
So I was super happy
that they were recognized.
Think about it. I mean, we tend to think of them as just some casual work and nobody does this for life and all of that.
Yeah.
The number of delivery boys and girls, and I'll talk a little bit about the girls too, who actually spoke to me and said, we were told not to work because either we are living with our mothers because we are young and we are sort of living with our parents, or we are living with our wives, or we are living with our husbands. The number of such sort of family members who said, no, there's a pandemic out there, you're not going to go to people's homes, you're going to get sick because you're going to go into quarantine homes, don't work, it's okay if you don't have money, was not a small number. And yet, we had very little absenteeism.
Wow.
In fact, we didn't even have, you remember there was this crisis where people were going back to their villages back sort of May-June period? Very few of our delivery partners went to their hometowns. And they're not mostly from Bangalore, right? Or from Bombay. They're from small towns. They didn't go back because they felt that they were doing something that was essential services.
Yeah.
Right? They had passes from the police in police or municipality or whoever was issuing the passes. And they felt we were actually like the police doing essential work.
Right.
Now, some of it was, of course, told by us to them, but a lot of it was what they picked up from how the politicians talked about them and so on and so forth. So there has never been a crisis at a national level. There has been many crises where we've called out the yeoman service rendered by the doctors.
I think one so rarely where we've all come together uniformly and said, you know, let's all back each other up.
And specifically the delivery boys and girls.
Yes.
Right? Because soldiers, to call them out as saviors of the nation is common.
Yes.
Right? And sure, they do good, great work.
Yeah.
Policemen, doctors.
Yeah, but to call out delivery boys and
girls.
Exactly. I think that happened for the first time
ever. Ever in 100 years. Right? And that's, I think, something which is unique because that then allowed us to offer these delivery boy services for pretty much everything under the sun. Okay. Anything that was legit. That needed to be shipped from place A to place B. We were shipping during the pandemic.
I'm sure you have many stories.
Of course.
Can I hear...
That's why I stopped at that word, legit.
Yeah. So, I would love to hear one. I'm sure you have many. So, go ahead.
Okay. So, I'll
that brings a lot of fond memories in your mind.
I don't know about the fond memories bit, but I'll tell you the two stories that were sticking in my mind.
Sure. Okay.
So, we actually said, look, you know what? People are also... people need to ship stuff from each other. So we had this small service at that point of time. It was called Genie. And that was essentially not the food delivery part, but using the same infrastructure to ship things from place A to place B.
Right.
So you can pick it up and drop it off anywhere because it still has the same amazing technology and operations that Swiggy is famous for.
Yeah.
Okay, let's open it up. Now
that opened up when, by the way? That
was big time in May.
In May, okay.
Right, so about a month after we scaled it April, May, right? So we said, okay, obviously I don't need to know what you're shipping to your friend. Right, you're a consumer, you'll put it in a bag and you'll tell us what it is.
Sure.
As a general descriptor, and you'll ship it.
I'm scared about where this is going.
Yeah. But then one day, and in those days, we were doing daily firefighting.
Yeah.
Right, because it could be suddenly Hubli is closed.
Yeah.
Because there's been cases rising, the city's been shut down. So suddenly, crisis. So we were having daily stand-up crisis meetings.
Mm.
And usually those crises were about, we don't have passes to operate, or this city has been shut down, or this zone has been quarantined, or these delivery boys and girls have fallen sick, which is rare anyway. But those are the type of operational crisis.
Sure.
The one time when I remember this crisis meeting, where it was two of our delivery boys had been caught by the police.
Okay.
And they were Ginny, and the police opened the stuff, and it was some form of a plant which wasn't exactly supposed to be shipped.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
People are doing that stuff.
Exactly.
Huh? So I feel really sad is the poor delivery guy gets
He had nothing to do with it. Yeah, he genuinely did not know. Right? Obviously, right? Because he picks up a brown bag and takes it to place B.
That's it, yeah.
So he protested with as much sincerity as he could saying, I have zero clue. Look at my app. There's no information that I'm shipping this.
Right.
So the police, of course, caught hold of us and said, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
So now, thankfully, it was only one case. And the police was, by the way, the whole police, especially in Bangalore, was the most amazingly receptive to real problems. Can you believe we had WhatsApp groups running 24/7 with the police to tell them the problems that we are having on the ground, and they would basically send a police control vehicle to solve the problems.
That's good to know.
24/7. Sunday, I have troubled police people and they have responded within half an hour. Tell me, they just said, give me the phone number of the bike that is stuck and we'll sort it out for you.
Right.
This is amazing, right? So truly everybody came together. And so they said, look, this is a problem. You can't be shipping this. This is not essential. However much you may protest, this is not essential. And so we said, swear.
Right.
We never knew what was inside.
Such a Bangalore thing, you know.
Yeah.
We are the only ones in the country whom I know who do that. What you just did.
Yeah.
It shows how much of a Bangalorean you are.
Yeah. So we didn't know what was inside. So then after that, they said, yeah, but we can't allow this, blah, blah, blah. I said, completely fair. So after that, and I don't know if you used it before May and after May.
Right, I have, for sure.
But after May, you had to basically click a button and a declaration that what you were shipping was your responsibility.
Yes, not ours.
I
remember that distinct change that happened.
That change happened
because of this incident. So this is the story behind that button.
Yeah.
Wow.
That extra button, extra friction that we create. Some consumers are like, what the hell? Of course I know what I'm shipping.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so this is the reason. So for everybody, you now officially have had underhand secrets delivered to you. Okay, lovely.
Yeah. But it didn't happen after that. People behaved themselves, I think.
Yeah. I think for the most part, these are the one-off cases where you can tell a funny story in a place like this and laugh about it and be like, that was silly.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
There was another incident which happened.
Yeah.
We are not a taxi company, right? We are just a normal company. So anyway, long and short of it, we decided to do shipment of Ginny.
Yes.
So the process is...
I remember that there was a test, there was a beta thing that was running first and then it kind of came
in. Yeah, but hear the story out, right?
Yeah.
So we sent, the normal process is the guy comes and basically says, okay, what do you want to ship?
Yeah.
And the person gives a brown bag and sometimes take a picture and so on.
Sure, sure.
So he goes and he says, okay, what do you want me to ship? Give me the packet, sir.
Right.
Right. Which is very different from a restaurant where you anyway know, you go pick it up and then deliver it, right? So the guy says, I think he said it in Kannada. He says, me. So the delivery boy looks at him and says, what do you mean you? He says, I want you to ship me from place A to place B. Right? Because at that time,
you could
Uber not running.
Yeah.
Running, right? Uber not running. Public bus is not running.
Right.
Auto rickshaw is not running.
So he booked a Swiggy Genie
to ship himself. And of course, that wasn't allowed, right?
Yeah.
So this guy...
So how did he kind of deal with that?
No, he just said, sir, I can't do it, Then he started saying, it has to be a package, it has to be within this dimension,
so
it has to fit in my bag.
He can't do a box.
Come on, he didn't. But he just literally, said, sorry, I can't do that. Because something in that D just triggered that, look, if I'm caught doing this, I'm in trouble.
I've had it, yeah. Wow. So, these are crazy stories I never hear from anyone. These are fun stories. Yeah. You know, this is, I think, what makes building a lovely product all the worthwhile. Because you're going to remember these stories, and like one day you'll be telling your grandkids about these. You know, once when I was in lockdown, this is what happened.
Yeah.
These are the stories that really make it worthwhile. What has made it worthwhile for you to keep going? I mean, you were appointed as COO in 2018.
Yeah.
So what has kept you going personally here?
During the pandemic, you mean?
No, as a professional at Swiggy, what has kept you personally going? Like, how is this place different from so many others?
So a couple of things. One, there is an X factor about this. First of all, startups in general have an X factor, which I'm sure you're familiar with. You would have met so many of them.
Yes.
And the X factor is all about, you know, solving real world problems at pace, not having much bureaucracy or any bureaucracy whatsoever. So essentially being focused 100% on the job, and the smallness of the company and the unity of purpose and everything else that a startup has allows you to focus 99% on the job and only 1% on the other sort of overheads which large companies end up having. So that's a good thing, right? And you're trying to solve problems, and that is a good thing to have. The X factor, I think, which Swiggy had is that it had the ability to attract and also retain. I'm not an exception. There's so many of us who joined in 2017, 18, 19, even 20 that have retained. So there is something about the building which actually allows people of various hues, colors and shapes to come in here and still be able to perform even though they're different.
Do you think that has a lot to do with the way top management functions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the culture
that filters down, right? It's never the other way around. It's never
totally
the culture that starts down that goes up. It's
true. I think it starts with the founder in terms of how he or she sets it up and the early stage sort of cultural seeds that you sow.
Of course.
And then it, of course, then depends on the early employees that come in and all of that. And I'm sure Harsha will tell you that he spends a boatload of time, at least in the early stages, in making sure that the recruits that were coming in or the people that were being recruited were all sort of not necessarily the same type of people, but will have a certain commonality to be able to have the X factor going. So I would say it's just that X factor of allowing me to be able to express myself. I know I'm quoting from Kohli.
I get where you're coming from. No, yeah. I get it. But after the swear thing that you did, you've been a Bangalore boy your whole life?
No. My dad was in the army.
Ah, okay.
So I was India boy. I was basically all over
all
the country.
Over. Yeah. Like so I would have. Must have traveled.
I've done everything. I've done Guwahati. I've done Ladakh. I've done Punjab. I've done Rajasthan. I've done.
Which was the best place?
All of them are great. Really, 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 all of them are great. And I think that honestly, if you look at any global sort of executive, if you've done an army life in India, if you're an army brat in India, a global career is super easy.
Right.
Because every 3-4 years,
you've already
been
doing it for a while.
Yeah, like every 3-4 years, you have to uproot yourself, find new friends, often speak a different language. Remember, when I was growing up, you had to learn the local language.
Of course.
You know, I go to Assam, I still basically understand a little bit of Assamese.
Yeah.
Lived in Punjab, I can still read and write my name.
Very
right. So, in that sense, languages, culture, being able to be open to other people's.
I think that also changes your worldview on the way you interact with people as well. I think it aids you on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So you can say that being a 4G kid helps you deal with maybe Swiggy execs from all over the country.
It's very, like, honestly, when I meet people from different parts, I mean, before the pandemic, I was just saying that, I mean, I was done 75, 80 trips a year.
Right.
Which is a lot, if you actually think about it, right? Because there's office meetings and then there's trips.
Of course, yeah.
So I've traveled to so many cities where we opened up. I mean, in that year, the year after I joined, we actually blitzscaled and we added 500 cities.
Right.
When you're adding 500 cities, at some stage, you're adding a city every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Because in one of the days, I think we added some 35 cities.
Wow.
So we were adding pretty much a city every 40 minutes.
Right. Wow.
When you're adding that many cities and you're essentially, there's so much of diversity in those cities, you really have to be able to understand how to handle that.
Sure.
And so I think it was great. First of all, the team that worked, it was great, but also the ability to go and sort of, you know, understand what's happening in those cities and understand what's needed in a state or a state versus B state.
Because the needs vary, right? It's never the same.
Oh, needs are you very different. Like, let me put it this way. You're a Bangalorean, right?
Yes, I am.
At 6 o'clock, at 5:36, you're probably thinking of some thindi.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
But actually, even right now. But anyway.
Correct. But in Jodhpur, they are actually thinking of dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you have a situation where you're opening up your, like, I'll give you another classic one.
Right.
If you open up the Swiggy app on a weekday,
okay,
and this is particularly true in the pre-lockdown period,
okay,
you will have breakfast menu available till 10:45 in the morning.
Yes.
Now you sit there and you say, hang on, in Jayanagar at 10:45 they're thinking of lunch.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in the newer parts of Bangalore, where the millennials live, at 10:45 they've just come up.
They're just
sort of getting into, okay, let me get up. I've just binge watched last night.
Yeah, yeah.
So forget cities. Even within a city, there's such a big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to be able to cater to the nuances,
right,
and yet be able to run things at scale.
Let's talk about, you know, like you said, running things at scale when it comes to the new thing that you guys are trying to scale. Which I'm a user of, so I'm happy to tell you that.
Okay.
Which is your Instamart.
Which is what? Shipping plants through Genie?
No, God. No, definitely not. But your Instamart division,
yeah,
right? Bangalore, Gurgaon,
yeah,
so far.
Yeah.
How's that going? What's been the learnings from that personally?
It's an astounding business. Most people compare it to the obvious suspects. You know, is it an Amazon, and is it a Big Bazaar or,
sure,
a Big Basket or whatever? And I keep telling people, look, you can keep finding things to compare it to,
yeah,
but it's not going to exist if it's not solving a unique problem.
Absolutely.
And Instamart is Instamart. It's not Amazon.
Mm.
Instamart is Instamart. It's not a Big Basket.
Mm.
There will be some commonalities, but it's solving a unique problem.
Right.
Right. And if you think about it, I'm not going to go through the longer answer,
sure,
but the short answer is very simple. There are things that you need at odd hours and at short notice.
Yeah.
Okay, and that could be...
I hope this is not going the direction that we were just referring to, but anyways.
No. Odd or short notice. For example, a child is at home and you've just run out of diapers. And it's,
yeah,
and you just looked in the pantry and it's over.
It's over.
And you need it. And you can, of course, do some makeshift stuff and stuff like that, but it's not. It's a time-sensitive thing.
Mm.
You press a button, 30 minutes later, it's there.
Yeah.
Right? You are having some friends over for a party. And
you
let's say the Coke ran out.
There's no dip.
There's no dip. Or
yeah,
maybe the Coke ran out.
Yes.
Or maybe the people wanted a fruit juice and that's not there.
Yeah.
Right? They said, oh, I'm not feeling like having.
I've used it for exactly this, by the way.
Correct.
Exactly. So, oh my God, it's so weird that you're saying,
yeah,
this. But yeah, okay.
Now that you don't want 4 hours later or the next day. You, sure, want it then and there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you press a button, 30 minutes or 40 it's minutes there. Later, it's there. Right?
So for this, I'll tell you a funny story about this. So we had a barbecue at home.
Okay.
And, you know, I love cooking, so
okay,
I hate leaving the grill in the middle.
Right.
My mom's like, listen, there's no juice.
Yeah.
You have to go and get juice.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to mix this with and all that? So I said that, you know, I'm not, okay, it'll be here in half an hour.
Right.
You guys saved me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it did come, is it? Okay.
It came. Okay. And the funny thing is, mom's like getting, she's like, pressure is building in her head. She's like, why can't you just go for 5 minutes and go and get it?
Yeah.
It's like, you need it in half an hour. It'll be here in half an hour.
Right.
It comes in half an hour.
Right.
And you know, like typical moms, right? Like, you're so lazy.
Yeah.
You know, you're so this thing. I was like, yeah, mom, the grill would not have been going if I left.
Yeah.
Right. Bottom line is, it came. Everyone happy.
Yeah.
But what I like even more,
yeah,
and I was telling this actually to Brian before you came, is I've always experienced a very good support on Swiggy,
right,
from your execs when,
right,
I chat in the app.
Right.
I've always had a very positive experience with that. I'll be honest, Vivek. I'm not telling you this just because I'm sitting with you. I'm telling,
yeah,
you this because I genuinely mean it.
Got it.
So on the back end, you know, because you're an ops guy, training that level of people takes a lot. So what?
Yeah. See, we tend to focus on defect elimination. So,
yeah,
when you're telling me all this, I'm obviously happy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, thank God he's not faced the thousands of people who complain about.
No, if I had a bad experience, I would tell you openly.
Sure,
right?
I get that.
But
sorry, where, yeah, do you live, if I may ask?
I'm in Kalyanagar.
Okay.
I'm in Kalyanagar.
So here's an interesting one for you. If you want to really get depressed one day,
right,
just go to the call center and listen in for about an hour. Because,
why,
the people will call in and, right, basically complain. And they have all legitimate reasons to complain. Food's gotten delayed. Something is missing. You know, you have a hungry child who's jumping up and down and,
yeah,
something is missing. So they have legitimate reasons to,
sure,
complain.
Sure.
But when all of those people who have a reason to complain, and remember, we do millions of orders.
Yes.
And you take a very small subset of that, that's still thousands of people.
Sure.
Are basically just unilaterally complaining at a bunch of young women,
God,
and men.
Yeah.
Just imagine, you've just spent
that's
8 hours.
Something else.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I really ask the people saying, do we have any like mental health?
I'm sure you guys take care of that as well.
We do.
Yeah.
But that's, I asked that because I was like, man, if I had to listen for 9 hours or 8 hours to somebody just yelling at me and different people yelling at me and making me
I'd be fed up,
right? But these are another one of those unsung heroes and heroines that actually, remember, in the lockdown, they were even more handicapped than the delivery boys and girls.
Correct.
Because the delivery boys and girls needed licenses and passes and all that, and they could go out to work.
Yes, but these guys
these people
had to physically come.
It wasn't allowed. We weren't allowed to put people in a room.
So you developed it, you know, through a CRM on the phone.
Yeah, but these are people who don't have computers at home. They don't often have great network at home.
Sure.
To be able to run a proper secure network so that they can do call center from home was a different order of magnitude challenge. The most visible face of Swiggy during the pandemic is the boys and girls.
Correct.
Delivering stuff. But the invisible
face.
It's
these guys back behind the scenes that make it easy for them.
So they were also working really hard and they had it tough too.
I love how you touched upon mental health. So let's talk about that for a second. That's one thing that's affected a lot of people during the pandemic.
Yeah.
How has that been for you personally? And then we'll get to the company as well, but you know, it's because it's hard. It's not hard.
So I think there are a few things. One is you can look at the glass half full or you can look at the glass half full. A lot of us in urban India are fortunate to have the resources we do. Mm. Right? There's a lot of people in urban India and rural India who don't have the resources, whether it's a job, physical security, money, etc. So to start with, the first principle is to just be thankful every day that you have what you do to deal with the mess that is outside.
Mm.
So, you know, you start complaining to yourself, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm. So every day I would say, thank God I'm in a country which is my own, you know, not stuck somewhere and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I have to come back.
And I have to come back, but I can't come back because and a lot of people did that. Number two, I'm fortunate enough to have the resources that I do. Yeah, sure, I'm stuck at home, but look at the people who don't have jobs or who have to go to their villages or stuff like that. So first piece is gratitude for what you have.
Mm.
Okay. Then I said, look, reality is that you're going to be stuck at home and going to have screen time shooting up.
Yeah.
Right? All my device screen time limits were just blowing past in the first week itself. I used to have limits for screen time.
Limits? I do that now, by the way.
Yeah. And it just blew past, right? Because obviously you're on the phone all the time and you're on computer all the time. So I realized that you're going to have a lot of this actually extra sedentary stuff.
Sure.
So to the extent possible, I invested in stuff so that I could actually do a lot more on health. So I bought a bike. The thousand other people that bought a bicycle.
Yeah. You are the guy who, because of you, I was not able to pick up a bike in lockdown.
Ah, yes. I was told that the waiting list is running in months.
Yeah, demand's gone up 300%.
Exactly.
By the way, in Bangalore.
The early bird gets the worm.
Yeah,
in this case, a bike.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
so enough. I bought the bike. Okay. And it was a great bike, but it's just amazing how... And by the way, during the lockdown, biking was so much fun in Bangalore.
I know, because...
No trucks, no traffic. Yeah, exactly.
Empty road.
Yeah, I've ridden from here to Kabban Park and back.
Lovely.
Like, can you imagine doing that in today's?
No, you can't.
Exactly.
You can't. Firstly, we have to have that thing. What's it called? Roads.
Yeah, exactly.
Secondly,
yeah.
You know, the bike is secondary.
That's right. So I actually did invest in health. But the other thing I actually did, which I think was two things I did. I decided to go hard at one hobby and do like take it to the next level.
So what did you pick up?
So I used to have a hobby which I was not spending as much time on called photography.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Right. And so I basically
would have never thought. Really?
Why?
I mean, I have not heard a COO pick up photography and...
No, I used to know it before, but I didn't have much time on it.
Okay.
But this time I said, okay, I'm going to go hard at it.
Okay.
So as long as we were locked in, of course, I was only... working on photography at home and then of course putting post. But I was not on Insta before this or barely on Insta before this. But in the lockdown, barring 1 or 2 days, I have posted one image every day.
Very good. Oh, lovely. Okay, right? So that became your go-to.
But to make that image and to write the story behind the image requires you to do homework.
Yeah.
You can't just, like for example, I wasn't just posting some stuff.
Correct.
I was reading up about it and writing something so that people who read it will get to know. But it was more importantly keeping the brain something to do.
Something was taking.
So I really became much better at some types of photography. And of course, when the unlock happened, we did lots of Kabini, Bandipur, all those places.
Okay.
And
so you're an outdoorsy kind of person as well.
Big time.
Okay.
Right. So, nice. And what was amazing, and that's where the whole tells you what the power of practice can do.
Mm.
That I was like super happy one day when suddenly Nat Geo said, okay, this picture of yours has won an award.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, but I was like, me, Nat Geo, where did that come from? But you just realize that if you keep doing something every day,
right?
I mean, at some stage you get past a place where people say, yeah, this is sort of at least appreciation worthy.
Right.
So I think that that is one thing which, you know, there's a morning I dedicate maybe 20 minutes to it. Actually, it's no more than 20 minutes, but that 20 minutes
that's your only focus.
Yeah, I mean, then I'm in the zone, right? And I do that after the kids start their school in the morning. I do that for 20 minutes and then I'm done, right? But there is obviously homework you do and stuff like that. So I've done a lot of outdoorsy. Once the unlock happened in Karnataka, I think it's been brilliant. We are so blessed here.
We really are.
So I've done from
Kabini,
Bandipur. I've done Bhimeshwari. I've done K-Gudi.
We have a lot of lovely places in the state only.
Yeah,
which I think a lot of people take for granted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This place has got amazing beaches. Mm. It's got amazing forests. Mm. It's got amazing culture.
Yeah.
I mean, we also did a trip to Hampi and also to this Shravan Belgola and all of that.
Okay.
Amazing stuff. And I'll tell you the craziest trip we did. Right? A bunch of us got together, classmates from school.
Oh God, that should have been a riot.
Yeah, it was a riot.
Yeah.
We drove from here to Nagpur.
Hmm. Oh,
okay,
wow.
That's 1100 kilometers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we did it in 14 hours.
Wow.
No stops.
Okay.
We said, look, three boys, okay, we don't need to stop except to ease ourselves. We will eat on the car. We were not going to stop even for food, which means we literally went nonstop.
Awesome.
And then we did safaris in Nagpur, which is Tadoba.
Very cool.
So we did a few of that. And I think that just every time there was, let's call it the stress of the work building up, you had these releases.
Get away.
Yeah. So I think that's, frankly, we had to find our own coping mechanisms.
So that was yours.
Yeah.
Fantastic. For the company and looking out for people, did you guys kind of jump into there?
So the good news is that I think for us, the HR was actually in that sense had a bit of foresight.
Mm.
When things were allowed to be operating from office, which is February 2020, we actually started moving people to work from home.
Okay.
Right? Now, the good news is when you're actually moving people to work from home when it's February and lockdown hasn't happened, you can ship hardware to people's homes.
Yeah.
There's no stress.
Yeah.
Right? You can let people test stuff out, see how it works. So we actually had 3 weeks of dry run, believe it or not, of when things were sort of, there was a backup of office.
Sure.
Before Janta curfew and lockdown happened, which meant that when it happened,
y'all were ready.
By and large, people were sorted.
Okay.
Okay. The second thing is we also made sure that we are investing in the health and well-being of people.
Good.
Starting with the delivery people.
You also, guys, have taken an onus to vaccinate your delivery execs.
The entire fleet,
which is about, 2 lakh, more than that.
Yeah, people. I mean, as it goes along, it'll be more than 2 lakh.
Super, yeah. So, that's a big responsibility to take. I think it says a lot about you as a company as well. So, going in that direction, I think, was it a conscious thing that was there from the beginning, or you just sounded around and you're like, hey, why don't we do this?
No,
how did that thought process kind of
come about? Actually been talking about it for 4-5 months now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because we knew vaccines have started. Remember, the first phase was actually with the older people and all that.
Beginning of Jan.
So it's now April almost.
Yes.
And we'd been saying, look, these are frontline staff. We want to do it because we know for a fact that a lot of their family members are still saying you're in a risky job.
Okay.
Thankfully, we haven't had a crazy problem because these are young people. They have good, you know, immune systems.
Yeah.
And we've been, by the way, we had invested in masks and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a new thing. I don't know how you order, but there is a method of ordering called contactless delivery.
Yeah, contactless delivery. Yeah.
A lot of consumers don't use it. Mm-hmm. And it's such a simple thing to do. Just press a button and
you leave it at your door.
Leave it at the door, take a click picture and go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't do that. That just allows for that do gaj ki duri to easily happen on both sides.
Correct.
Right? Everybody's happy with that. And they also like it. Because when they go and tell their families that, no, we are doing contactless delivery, it's actually good for them.
It makes life easier. And
for their families.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think that the investing in some of these things, which is the physical, you know, medical support and medical insurance and help when they actually do get COVID and stuff like that, plus this vaccination thing. I personally would say that we do less of it than we would like, less of this kind of stuff than we would like.
But when you do it, it's fulfilling.
When we do it, it gives us happiness. But we still think that there is more to be done.
Of course.
And so there's a lot of other conversations we are having right now as we speak on how to solve further problems.
Right.
Because the reality is that these are sort of gig economy guys.
Yeah.
They don't come to work. They're not contractually bound to come to work.
Absolutely.
So the fact that we are thinking about problems that we don't precisely know, because they don't use their bikes only for delivery. They use their bikes pretty much for everything, which is why you don't see a Swiggy bag welded on. See, unlike in a Domino's thing where it's welded on, because that's a bike only for Domino's delivery.
Yes.
This is a bike that's used for everything.
Yeah, their own personal use or whatever they want.
Yeah,
whatever
right.
They want,
So therefore, to understand what their overall life problems are, we haven't invested in, because we just said they're coming in to do their work. But now we have a team of people who understand their problems outside of work.
Okay.
Right? For example, and you mentioned the lack of roads or the moon craters in Bangalore, right? But part of the problem with those craters in Bangalore is that when you do 150 kilometers a day, 6 days a week, for whatever, 20 plus days a month, eventually your backbone does,
of course,
does pain.
It takes a little bit of a beating. Yeah.
Beating.
Yeah.
So we've actually spoken to a bunch of orthopedists to figure out a way in which either through posture or through some kind of a device,
right,
it can at least lessen the pain that they have, because you can't fix the roads.
Yeah.
Right. You have to deal with the fact that they will be bumping around. And so we've done a little bit of that again, but we haven't put that kind of system in place yet.
It's in the pipeline.
It's in the pipeline. But so talking to them and saying, tell us the problems that you have in your life. And therefore, let's see what we can and should solve and what we can't solve using technology or otherwise is a relatively new journey, I would say.
Right.
And therefore, it's fulfilling when it happens, but there's still more to be done.
Of course, there's, like you said, always more to be done. But, you know, this has been a long chat and I've gotten to know so much about you as a person. I think it's only fitting that we kind of like end this on a little rapid fire kind of note.
Okay.
And for that, like, I want you to say the first thing that kind of comes in your mind.
Okay.
All right. Before I get to that, do you mind if I squeeze in one more question?
Go ahead, please.
I would love to know two things.
Yeah.
One, who you consider as a role model in your life.
Uh-huh.
And number two, what would be your three pieces of advice for young entrepreneurs out there?
Okay. So let me do the role model piece first.
Sure.
There is no one person that I kind of hero worship and say so-and-so is a role model.
Mm.
But in my experience over the last 25 odd years, I've seen lots of people to take parts of what they do and be inspired by it.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you in no particular order,
sure,
but these are all people that have inspired me.
Okay.
So let's start with the Tata Group or Ratan, who's the current sort of face of it as the person who embodies the ethos of
Right.
of Tata. I'm sure you've seen that amazing TED talk also on how the employees at the Taj, they didn't leave till every guest was secured. I mean, they knew all the back exit. They could have just left when the mess happened.
Yeah.
But none of them, not one person left. Right? Now, no money or a training program for 2 days can
teaches you
that. It's all about the service ethos that Tata and the Taj Group trained them on. So how do you take people who come from all walks of life? The Tata, of course, is a broad church. It brings in everybody. And how do you train them in the Tata way? And how do you make sure that every employee embodies that ethos?
Mm.
Right? Whether he's a good performing employee or a bad performing employee,
sure,
I'm sure they would have had a normal distribution
curve.
Of
course,
but every employee did what was considered exceptional behavior in those exceptional circumstances. So Tata and what it's done in terms of a company over the last 100 plus years
is an
inspiration. And I think that a lot of startups will gain a lot by not taking maybe some aspects of the Tata culture that are not relevant for startups, perhaps in the speed at which they operate, etc. But at least take the values and the kind of how they role model that and get their employees to sort of, you know, truly buy into that is an inspiration.
Okay.
On a personal note, there is the mama of mine who was the only, I mean, I don't come from a business background or a family that is into business. There are usually either doctors or engineers or co. So to have one person who was actually he was the only person in the corporate world.
Okay.
So therefore, he was the one inspiration that was there in how to run a career in a corporate life and still basically never do anything that you need to go home. He used to be very unstressed. And I used to wonder why is he unstressed, because what's the secret? And he says, I've never done a thing in my life when I have to go home and say, oh, you know what, that's not the right thing to have done.
Mm.
Right? Because you'll make mistakes, it'll lead to some business outcome that is not acceptable. It's okay, you'll get rated badly or you'll have to leave or whatever. But you should never come home and do something that makes you think, I wish I had not done that, but it's not the right thing to have done. Right? So when you walk home with that thing that says, I have done everything that is right, both in the letter and spirit of the law, you can actually live a very stressless corporate life.
Right.
So for a youngster who was kind of looking at this only person who was in the corporate world and sort of getting inspired by it, I have always found him to be an inspiration. So I've ended up working in so many countries around the world, but never had the stress of going home and thinking, oh my God, you know, what if this happens? I mean, worst case is I lose some market share or lose something business. Fine, I deserve it, but I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, it'll come, it'll go.
It'll come.
Yeah. So quick rapid fire. All right. Okay. This is our final. So first thing that comes to your mind, you're just going to say it out loud.
Okay.
Right? First thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay.
This is a danger. You warned me three times now, so I'm like, okay, let me hold on to my. Yeah,
No. Okay. So
you should have done this with a better liquid refreshment.
I thought you were going to say plant.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, Vivek. Here's your little rapid fire. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Sweet. Are you a morning or a night person?
Morning.
Okay. Fill in the blanks. When I dance, I look like
shit.
Really?
I don't dance.
You don't dance. Okay, cool. Your favorite Bollywood movie and why?
Shole.
Huh, why?
It was the first. So think about it. When you're young, you hear that the epic from ancient India is the Mahabharata. Mm. And the epic from modern India is Shole.
Oh, Shole.
And that's it. I must have watched it 10 times, 20 times, whatever
so
it is.
So you know the dialogues by heart now?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, great. Your favorite TV show you're binge-watching right now?
Surgeons.
Oh, okay. I have not heard of this. I don't know what
this is. I don't know what the name. It's a Surgeon's Cut or something. It's called.
Okay.
Netflix.
Okay. Cool.
It. By the way, it has the some great global surgeons.
Right.
But it also has our own Bangalore Dr. Shetty.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a global Netflix thing.
Cool. Want to check out for everyone who's watching this. Okay. Cool. Two things that you would change if you had a time machine.
To go forward or backward? Oh, backward.
Your choice.
Yeah.
Two things you would change. So past, obviously, ideally.
Yeah. I would probably change this model of economic progress that screws the earth.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, some way we should basically protect
the environment,
the earth and the environment and animals and everything else. And maybe it's my love for wildlife and
maybe,
stuff like that. But I just think it's stupid to degrade the earth
in the name
of progress.
Right. And the second thing?
And the second thing is I would probably make education for everybody a compulsory thing and make it free. Okay. Because then true meritocracy can come. Then you just don't have to worry about who's got better access and
Absolutely.
All of that. Literally, then you don't have to worry about what's your background and stuff like that.
Right.
You actually will get the best human potential. Because when you see some of the smart people that are still living in slums and villages and stuff like that, and you say, man, I wish this guy had or this girl had more access.
Access, yeah. Okay, perfect. Hollywood or Bollywood?
Can I say neither?
No, fair enough. Yeah, you can say Tollywood for all.
No wood. Yeah.
Okay, cool. One dream adventure sport you're yet dying to do?
Dream adventure sport I'm yet dying to do. Mountaineering. I've done hiking, but not mountaineering.
Okay, mountaineering.
Yeah.
And I want to end this on a very personal note. So, your favorite memory of childhood?
My favorite memory of childhood. Okay, so this is a weird one. So,
okay.
My dad was posted in Assam, and we used to take this train sometimes from Chennai to Guwahati. I don't know if you've done that
or heard of that.
I
have not done that. I have gone to Delhi.
Okay.
So, it has been a couple of days. But yeah.
Correct. But imagine like you're spending a couple of days. This was, add another day to it.
Right.
Okay. It used to be something like 3.5-4 days
sure.
or something, right?
Sure.
Because the train would be delayed and all that.
Yeah.
That journey literally would see the best of India, right? Because you start from the south and you see all the South Indian food.
Yeah.
The next day, you're having Middle Indian food.
Yeah.
Then you're having UP-Bihar food because you're turning this way. And then you're going, because sometimes you'd go via Delhi and sometimes you'd go via some other places.
Yeah.
And then you would start seeing Eastern India and then you would see Northeast India. So in 1 4-day cycle, it would literally be you're seeing so many cultures, so many languages. Literally, you can imagine, you sleep in the morning, next day morning you're in a different place where people give you a different. And because we used to do this all the time, right? Because summer holidays we would go back to Chennai or to
sure.
wherever we were going. Those memories are very positive memories. I mean, I'm sure we basically came out like we were bathed in coal, but as a kid, didn't matter.
It was unbelievable.
It was beautiful, right?
Super.
I really, and I don't know if you've ever, there is a bridge over the Brahmaputra.
Okay.
It's such a big river that you actually think it's a sea because you can't see the other end of it. Can you imagine a river where you, as a child, you're like, okay, this side of the river I can see, the other side of the river you can't see. You don't expect that in a river. You expect that in the sea. But there was a time when the train stopped in the bridge.
Wow.
And we were like, on the Brahmaputra, like I don't know how many 100 feet down, and we were like, okay.
What's going on?
But it was really, really, like, these memories are.
You'll never forget in your life.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Vivek, this has been ultra cool. And you know, usually when people think of you know, people at your level, they think that they are very you know, unapproachable and things like that. You have been the coolest guy ever, and I mean that in all sincerity. You have been the coolest guy ever.
Cameras are rolling. Cameras are rolling. I need to go. I need to go back maybe and check whether you say this as a closing speech to all
you
your
should,
people.
You should, because then you'll be pleasantly surprised. Okay, you should, you'll be pleasantly surprised. But you've been ultra cool and ultra chill, and I want to say thank you for taking out the time. I know you guys have been doing a lot of stuff, and to take out this kind of time, I deeply appreciate it. Thank you for being on The Year That Wasn't, and I look forward to ordering from you guys a lot more.
Awesome, very nice.
And with that, we come to a close of this episode of The Year That Wasn't, exclusively on HT Smartcast. Before we go, a couple of things that you have to keep in mind. If you'd like to give us or our guests a little bit of feedback, a message you might want to get across, you can find me on my social media. Look for Off Air With K, that is Off Air With K-A-Y, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And to give feedback to us as a platform, you can reach out to us on @HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. Bye-bye.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.